Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Elisha's on his deathbed. He gets himself up. He has this word finally for the king, right? And the king strikes the arrows. Elijah gets mad at him. And then we pick it up from there. This is 2 Kings chapter 13, starting in verse 19. So I'm overlapping a little bit from where we ended last week, and then we're going to move forward another verse or two. And the man of God was angry with him, with the king, and he said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Verse 20, it says, "Then Elisha died, and they buried him." Okay, that's the story of Elisha. Elisha died, and they buried him. Okay? No big deal so far, right? It says, "And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha." They were, you know, they were hiding out. They didn't want anybody to know that they killed a guy or whatever. "And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood to his feet." Pretty good when you're dead and still doing miracles. It's pretty good when you're dead and you're still doing miracles. Still pretty good when you carry so much of the anointing of God that a dead man's body touches your bones. It says the bones. He'd been there a while. It was in the spring of the year, so I don't know how much of the year had gone by. It touched his bones. He was raised back up and stood to his feet. That's a mighty prophet, right? But what is that a picture of? It's a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of you and me. It's a picture of Jesus dying and being raised from the dead. It's a picture of you and me touching Jesus' bones and being born again. Thank you very much. That's the punchline. Before we start anything else, that's the punchline. Okay? The anointing was still saturating the bones of Elisha. This is a prophecy of the anointing that abides in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Causes those who believe to be born into eternal life. I saw a story this morning on the news as I was getting ready here. And, you know, the president is in Finland right now, and a bunch of journalists apparently were out for dinner together. One of the table of journalists that were sharing and eating together at this restaurant, insisted on paying for everyone's picking up the tab. It's a very nice thing to do. When he paid the tab, the waitress came back. And the waitress came back and said, "Sir, I think you made a mistake. You gave me way too much money. But really, it was this man's quiet way of sharing extravagant generosity. He did it on purpose. Nobody at the table was supposed to know that he overtipped her so crazy, overtipped her, and her honesty compelled her, because in her culture, it apparently is unheard of to be extravagantly overtipped. That the people who talked about it were people who were sitting at the table talking about it. He would never share it with anybody. They didn't know about it, that he was extravagantly overtipping the waitress, because he wanted to leave a testimony. I pray that you occasionally extravagantly overtip, because those people work hard, and many times are under-tipped or not tipped. So you get out your calculator and see how much you can get away with. I'm telling you, tipping is a good way to silently love your neighbor. Yeah. But the secret gets out. Then the secret got out on national TV. You see, you got a secret. You touched the bones of Jesus Christ and you've been born again. You've been given the gift of eternal life through the extravagant generosity of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And we keep silent about it, not bragging on the one who extravagantly tipped us. Do you see? Because it sounds silly. Sometimes we don't like to brag about somebody who's been more generous than we are in our heart. Sometimes it bothers us because we're not that generous. But God's people should take on God's character and God's nature and take on God's generosity. And generosity may only be a small measure if you have a small measure of whatever it is that you have to give. But extravagant generosity is a mark of the child of God. Amen. The power of Jesus Christ brings people dead in their sins to life. You were dead in your sins, and now you're alive. And then we're going to eventually get to what it looks like if you really are carrying the life of Jesus Christ. Because all through the New Testament, especially the epistles, the letters, are all talking to new Christians about how they ought to live their life. Now that you're born again, this is how you ought to live your life. And you'll find it, many of the same themes repeated in book after book after book after book. This is how you ought to live your life. Isn't that cool? It's saying if God has touched your bones, your dead bones, your dead man bones. If God has touched your dead man bones, there ought to be some kind of a change. You ought to stand up in new life. But the reason we got a book is because that new life has to be learned. We're humans. We're not animals. We don't do everything instinctively. We do things through learning. Yeah? And our extravagant generosity of spirit ought to create an epidemic of salvations. If you're generous because your Father has been generous with you and you have been lowered down on Elisha's bones, aka Jesus, there ought to be a generosity about you that sets you apart from other people, creating an epidemic of salvations. The woman at the well, Jesus had a conversation with her. She went off like a Roman candle. She went off like a spinning top into her city, saying, "Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did." See, she touched Jesus. Just for the sake of context, John chapter 3, you know this. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, the Pharisee, "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what we just read about the dead man being lowered down and touching Elisha's bones is a prophetic foreshadowing of Jesus who was to come and said to us, unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Elisha sense it was a prophetic foreshadowing. But Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So how do we touch the bones of Elisha? Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the gospel, folks. That's the big deal. That's the big message. So the New Testament shows, especially in the epistles, a discipleship pattern that repeats itself sort of over and over again. And we're going to talk about a couple of those scriptures. This is ultimately the pattern. You're supposed to take off the old you and put on the new you. The rest of your life is going to be a practice of taking off the old you and putting on the new you. As much as you like to grasp the old you because you think he was kind of cool in a sort of a certain gritty, rebel without a cause way, truth is that guy's got to die. He got to stay dead. It's the new you that's got to live. And the new you is in the pattern of Christ. Remember Elisha when the boy was dead and he laid on top of the boy and his eyes to eyes, and his mouth to mouth, and his hands to hands. When you see as Jesus sees, speak as Jesus speaks, and do as Jesus does, you'll know you're done. So first of all, we're going to look at this pattern of change. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read 5 down through verse 14. Paul writes in the book of Colossians, led by the Holy Spirit, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." Well, yikes. Yikes. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." What does that mean? Your every physical unction that's ungodly, every physical desire, put it to death. Don't let it rule you. Put it to death. Don't let it rule you. And then he says, I'll give you a little list. He doesn't say that. I just said that, but that's implied in the colon. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You say, we don't do idolatry anymore. We're Americans. We don't have idols. We don't have people worshiping some statue somewhere or some idol somewhere. He actually defines what idolatry is: covetousness. Your burning desire for stuff. Compete with your neighbor, have more, get more, do more. Covetousness, desires for things that God hasn't provided, or you haven't worked hard enough for, or a number of different reasons. A covetousness is a desire that burns in your heart. That's not a good thing. He said, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of what things? Because of fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, people doing these things, people being these things, therefore, put to death your members. He's saying, therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on sons of disobedience, which you yourselves once walked and you lived in them. Of course you did. You weren't laid down yet on the bones of Elisha. You haven't sprung up in new life. You don't have the power to walk even as this clean person who can avoid these things in their lives. But now you yourselves are to put to death, put off all these. I love this. Put off all these. You yourselves are to put off all these. You're a child of God because you're supposed to put off all these things. Wrath, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in him, in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither, now that we've come to this place, for those of you who harbor prejudice, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Before the great throne of God in the book of Revelation, there are all people of all tongues and all tribes and all nations. You know what? We don't have this one ethnic folks in the first group and the second ethnic folks in another group and intellectual folks in a third group. And they all mix together. They all mix together before the throne of God. In Christ, there is none of those divisions that we make among ourselves. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, now this is how you are supposed to act. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. You know, that bearing one another, that ain't so easy. Sometimes we just, it's hard to bear with one another. You know, God stuck all of us from different walks of life into this one room and said, get along. But he puts all of us together from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of educational levels, all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. And he says, get along. Because if Christ is in you, that's who you are. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. So you ought to do? So you ought to take your time and let it think about it a little while? No. Forgive them. They hurt you. You're right. They were wrong. You're right. You've been hurt. It's unjust. It's unfair. You're right. Forgive them. Because Christ forgave us. The Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You walk in love, you walk in the bond of perfection. You walk in love, you walk in the bond of perfection. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their own heart, who being past feeling, they've already passed being able to feel normal. They've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned so in Christ. You see the contrast, how Paul does. Paul's the contrast king. He shows you how to live wrong, how they live wrong, and how you ought to live right. But you have not learned so in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Bob and I were just talking about a book. It's one of my favorite books. It's called Life at the Bottom by Theodore Dalrymple. And he talks about how he is a British psychiatrist. He's not a believer, but he's got a profound insight into people. And he's talking to these criminally insane people. And they say to him something like, "My hand grabbed the knife and I just couldn't stop stabbing." And he said, "Well, how come it is that you're here sitting in my office in perfect frame of mind, totally under control, and you're telling me that your hand took the knife? You literally separating yourself from what your hand did?" You know, it's just profound. It may be your hand who did it, but it's your mind who did it. It's your mind. So we have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's the spirit of your mind. What is the spirit of your mind? Do you tend to be a grouch? Do you tend to be a gossip? Do you tend to go dark? Do you tend to think dark? Or do you tend to think righteous? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as Jesus did. Yes? "And that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Folks, you got this available to you. This is your birthright. As children of God, this is your birthright. The old grouchy, crabby, ugly, sinful you, say goodbye. Throw it in the trash. Put it in a hefty bag. Throw it away. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You are in control of you. Either you have free will or you don't. And if you don't have free will, who are you being controlled by? I couldn't help myself. My hand picked up the knife. I said those words. Well, I really didn't mean them. You know, the guy who says horrible things to his wife and then says, "Oh, you know, I really don't mean it." What do you mean you don't mean it? Every one of those arrows went out of your mouth into her heart. What do you mean you don't mean it? You may be sorry and she may forgive, but her heart is still bleeding. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin." You know what? You're going to get angry. You're going to get ripping mad. You're going to get ripping, stinking angry. What people do to you wrong, sometimes you perceive it's wrong and it's not even wrong. You're going to get ripping angry. It says, you go ahead, you're going to be angry. God gets angry. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. All right, your anger. Go for a walk. Go hit your head against a tree. I don't know. Be angry, but don't sin. "And do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Because when you do that and you go to sleep at night, somehow your defenses seem to drop. And that anger that you go to bed with deepens in you and becomes a nest for a possible spiritual stronghold. Okay, "let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who is in need." So why do we work so hard? "Oh, because I need to have that new Corvette." I would like a new Corvette, by the way, if anybody ever cares to hear the pleading. No, I'm too old for a Corvette. It's too low to the ground. It'd be too hard to get out of it. "He works with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." The generosity. There's a generosity in God. God sent his only son that whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. The God who is generous, who gave the life of his own dear son, who emptied himself of his divinity and became like us, became a mortal man like us. Jesus Christ, the awesome, the great, the glorious. God gave him to us. Extravagant generosity. So you work real hard so you have lots to give. That doesn't sell in America. That doesn't sell in America. I'm working hard, so I have lots to give. I can out-tip the journalist in Finland. Nobody knows about it. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary for edification. That means you build one another up. You say, man, you know, ever tell you how awesome you are on that worship team? I ever tell you I really appreciate the way Todd and David are standing on the back door right now? Nobody sees them. Nobody understands they're doing a job for you. They're working for you right now. They're protecting you right now and have been trained to do so. That there are people watching your children. There are people watching your babies in the nursery so that this can be a safe place. That there are people, do you know the Silva family? They come every week and clean this church, this chapel, for you? Shh. Nobody knows. Nobody sees. Extravagant generosity. Let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. I'm just going to read the rest of the scripture. We will end. That he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Pastor Bob shared a message entitled Extravagant Generosity, showing us today how God the Father shared his generosity with us by sending Christ to die for our sins so we can have eternal life with him, and how after we receive the free gift of salvation, we should share generously what we have received from Jesus. I know we read scripture just like what Pastor shared today and look at our lives and we feel like we are more successful at what Paul was telling us not to do than what to do. But I want to encourage you today. Through Christ, all things are possible. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. This life is not a sprint we get correct instantly, but a marathon that we chase after Jesus Christ every day. Salvation through Christ is free to you and me because Jesus paid our debt. We deserve the death that he took on himself in our place. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways and turn from those actions right now. I place my full faith in you today, Lord, and ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I walk forward today in a new relationship with you. Jesus, cleanse my heart now. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, every Sunday at 10 a.m. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. If this ministry has impacted you, would you consider giving to the work of sharing God's Word? You can give online at www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.